You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. We know cutting down the tropical forests drives extinction of plants and animals. It also destabilizes the climate around the world. But that's either getting better or it's the fault of poor farmers who need a place to live after all. Wrong on both counts. Tropical deforestation is still going on, and these forests are being cut down or burned for products you and I consume. That's the news in a report commissioned for the Center for Global Development. We've reached the lead author, Martin Persson, an assistant professor at Chalmers University of Technology in Gothenburg, Sweden. Martin, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much.
Before we get to those villains possibly behind tropical deforestation, you were just at a major international forest conference in London. Please tell us about that.
So the title of the workshop was How Business Can Tackle Deforestation. Mainly, I was one of the few researchers there. It was mainly people from environmental NGOs and a lot of representatives from big corporations like Unilever and Nestle and McDonald's and Mars, discussing how corporations can help stopping deforestation.
Well, I'm interested in that, and we will get to it. One other question first, though. Saving the rainforest has been a campaign since at least 1990. Is the movement getting stronger, and will we still have any tropical forests left to save?
Yes, on both accounts, I would say. So first of all, as you said in the introduction, tropical deforestation is still rampant. We're losing about 10 million hectares of tropical forest every year. But there are also positive signs. Brazil, which has had the highest deforestation rate in the tropics, has reduced their deforestation rate in the Amazon by 70-80% in the last years. So there are positive signs, but there are also negative signs. But I think what has happened in the last few years is that, I mean, in as you say, in the 80s especially, tropical deforestation was really high on the agenda. But it has come back to the agenda again in the last few years, especially in relation to international climate negotiation and something called RED, reduced emissions from deforestation and forest degradation, which is an idea that rich countries, developed countries, is going to compensate tropical developing countries for reducing their deforestation rate and thereby reducing emissions of carbon dioxide. So I think this has helped lift again tropical deforestation on the international agenda. And I think we see a lot of things happening now, which is positive.
Well, let's get to your new report. The title is Trading Forests, Quantifying the Contribution of Global Commodity Markets to Emissions from Tropical Deforestation. What period of time are we talking about in this report?
So we're looking at especially the period 2000 to 2009. So we couldn't go beyond 2009 to the last few years because we didn't have good enough trade data. So what we do is we try to link deforestation to production of agricultural commodities like soy, beef, palm oil, and then we trace that production through international trade to where it's finally consumed. So to try to quantify to which extent tropical deforestation is driven by this international demand, but also domestic demand of these commodities.
Can you give us one or two examples of products that we may be buying that come from former tropical forests?
So, I mean, one thing, if you take soy, soy is a major feed ingredient to produce chicken, pig meat, and beef in developed countries. So we import a lot of soy, feed that to our animals, and then we eat the animals. So that's one thing. Palm oil is a vegetable oil that you can find in a lot of products in your grocery store. Cookies and things like that. Chocolate bars, maybe, and yeah, lots of things.
So we're buying a chunk of the rainforest when we buy some of those things.
In essence, yeah.
From Sweden, we're talking with Martin Persson. Beyond Brazil, where are the deforestation hotspots that you studied?
So we looked at mainly Latin America. So four countries in Latin America: Brazil, which is the major deforester, but also Bolivia, Paraguay, and Argentina. And then we looked at Southeast Asia, where we looked at Indonesia, which is the big country in terms of deforestation. But second comes Malaysia, and then also Papua New Guinea. And in Latin America, the main drivers of deforestation is beef production, so you're cutting down the forest to make way for pastures. But in the last decade or so, soy has become an increasingly important driver of deforestation, so expansion of soy production. And in Southeast Asia, it's mainly timber, paper and pulp production, so short rotation forests replacing natural forest, and then, of course, palm oil production, so oil palm plantations.
I don't see the Congo in your study list. Should we be concerned about Africa's tropical forests as well?
So we did also look at Congo, but mainly more qualitatively. And the main reason for that is, although there is deforestation there, it's mainly driven by smallholders or people cutting down forests for local markets rather than this international demand. So there's quite a little commercial-driven deforestation there. So there it's more still the sort of the old picture of smallholders practicing slash and burn for subsistence needs.
And you're in Sweden. What is IKEA's policy on this?
So IKEA was actually in this workshop as well. And of course, they are aware of this problem and working with it and sort of have a policy not to source wood from deforested land.
Now, we know the international climate negotiations are based on the amount of greenhouse gases each country produces. And we also know rich countries exported a lot of their manufacturing emissions to places like China. Are we also, in a sense, exporting our agricultural emissions when we buy soy or palm oil from former tropical forest lands?
Yes, you can say so. And that's one of the reasons we did this analysis that we presented in the report, to actually try to quantify it, to see how much, for example, Europe is importing embodied emissions from land use change, from tropical deforestation.
So how much of the world's greenhouse gases are found in these trade flows from tropical deforestation?
So tropical deforestation, as I said, roughly 10 million hectares of forest are lost every year, and that gives rise to carbon emissions in the order of around 4.5 billion tons of carbon dioxide. What we find is when we look at our seven case countries and our four commodities, just those seven countries, four commodities, are responsible for one-third of total deforestation and roughly also one-third of the associated carbon emissions. So 1.7 billion tons of carbon dioxide that is linked to production of these commodities. Soy, beef in Latin America, palm oil, timber in Southeast Asia. And one-third of that then is exported, driven by export demand on average.
I sometimes have trouble picturing what that really means. Do you know what that is, say, as a percentage of the total carbon emissions that humans are creating?
So again, if you look at the total emissions from tropical deforestation, it's roughly 10% of total human emissions of greenhouse gases. So again, what we find is one-third of that 10%, so like 3%, is linked to deforestation in these seven countries for these four commodities.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Our guest is Martin Pearson. Scientists tell me it's not just the amount of carbon lost from the trees or burned. The tropical soils hold immense amounts of carbon that also gets released. I'm thinking of peat in Indonesia, for example. Did you study that as well?
Yeah, so our numbers includes the emissions from peat drainage. So when you drain the peatlands in Southeast Asia to cultivate palm oil or oil palms or also for short rotation forest for pulp and paper, you get huge emissions of carbon dioxide. And that's included in our numbers.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I just talked with a group that are working on the fact that many of these rainforests are being turned into pulp, but that is then dissolved and turned into clothing. So people are actually wearing tropical rainforests with their latest fashions.
Yeah. And then what has happened in the last year is that a lot of companies have come forward and taken what you can call zero deforestation pledges. So committing to not buy primary commodities from land that has been deforested. And one of those companies is H&M, another Swedish company. So cotton, for example, can also be linked to produced on deforested land and so on. So yes, it's not only restricted to food commodities.
Well, where does one of the world's largest beef sellers, McDonald's, stand on this issue?
So they are also one of the companies that have taken these zero deforestation pledges. And then they were also present in the London workshop and discussing these questions openly. So they are aware of these problems and then taking steps to solve it. One of the things that was clear at the London conference was the recognition that we've really come a long way in the last few years, especially in the last year. A lot of companies have gone out and taken these zero deforestation pledges. So they've gone from sort of denial and denying that this is a problem to actually accept it and starting to take action. And this is, of course, has been driven by environmental NGOs that has really put the light on this and pushed them into action. But I think one of the main things that came out of this conference that I took with me is this it started a discussion of how these corporations can not only stop contributing to forest loss, but also actively work for forest conservation. And that means engaging with policymakers and try to get tougher regulations, better enforcement of forest regulation in tropical countries in place. And I think that that's where they can really make a difference. Because just the saying that we're not going to buy any soy or beef or palm oil from land that has been deforested in maybe last 5 years or so won't solve the problem. Because deforestation is really driven by sort of the marginal demand. The extra demand is coming. So we can buy up if a subset of the total consumer or global consumption is consumers say that, yeah, we don't want any deforestation from our palm oil or from our soy. We can still buy up all this soy and palm oil that's being produced today. And then people that don't care, well, they will buy the share that comes from new conversion of forests. So I think, for me, I don't see that this certification and these deforestation, zero deforestation pledges alone will solve the problem. Where it can really make a difference if it's starting to change the sort of political economy around forest conservation policy in tropical countries. So if you can get these companies from opposing forest conservation policy to actually start working actively for it, then you can really start to make things happening.
Are there particular organizations or campaigns you think are doing good work trying to save tropical forests?
I think one of the organizations that has worked really actively on this is Greenpeace, and they have really pushed companies to take an action and getting an awareness around these issues. So I think they have been really important in this. You have other NGOs, one of them, the Forest Trust, that is working with these companies to try to make sure that, verify that the zero deforestation pledges are actually honored and that they don't have any deforestation in their supply chains and so on. So different NGOs work in different ways and sort of complement each other here, I think.
I'd like to put a plug in for RAN, the Rainforest Action Network, as well, and for Canopy, which a lot of people haven't heard about, but it's a group based in Canada that's doing good work in this field. As we wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to talk to our listeners about?
The changes that we've seen in the last few years with increasing company corporations' awareness around these issues, I think it's really something that also they are much more sensitive to these issues today than they were 5 or 10 years ago. And I think that means that as a consumer, you have a bigger chance today of actually making a positive change by pushing companies to take action here. So you can do it either by directly contacting companies, of course, or going through environmental NGOs in different ways, supporting them and so on.
Right. Look it up and find out where the things that you're buying are coming from, and so that we can maybe save some of the rich tropical forestation that belongs on this earth. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with my guest from Chalmers University of Technology in Sweden, Martin Persson. We've been looking at what is driving tropical deforestation. You can find links to the study from the Center for Global Development in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.info. Martin, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.